Welcome to this podcast from Adelaide Place Baptist Church. We are a community of disciples, apprentices of Jesus, who live and work in the city of Glasgow, and it's our vision to join God in the renewal of all things. Our discipleship to Jesus is for all of our lives, so as well as listening to this podcast, we'd love for you to join us on a Sunday morning, or get involved in one of our missional communities, which are across the city throughout the week. Our prayer is that you encounter Jesus in some way through this podcast. More information can be found at apbc.net.
Hello, it's great to be with you today. And wherever you're joining us from online, it's really good that you're able to join us. We are here. Here we are, not together in person, but joining together, uniting together as God's people, a community of his people. And maybe some of you are joining in watch parties today in different homes or gardens or wherever you are. I know some of you have been doing that, and I'd love to encourage you to do that as well as you continue to join and we journey together this season that we're in as a church family. We are, as you'll know if you've been joining us each Sunday, thinking about some different characters from the Bible, thinking about some characters that are used by God, that are, as we can describe them, as heroes of the faith, but have different faults and flaws as well, and yet God still chooses to work through them and use them for his kingdom. We've thought about King David, we've thought about Anna, the prophetess, and last week we thought about the reluctant leader Moses and reflected on that. And today I want to spend a few minutes reflecting on Deborah. I don't know how much you know about Deborah in the Bible, but we're going to think about her. We've just heard read, the story of Deborah in song form, the song that she sang after that victory over the army that was invading the Israelites. Let me read a bit, though, of the narrative in the chapter before that, Judges 4. And you can read the rest of it perhaps later on. But Judges 4 says this: after Ehud died, the Israelites once again did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, a king of Canaan who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth. Because he had 900 iron chariots and had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for many years, they cried to the Lord for help. Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites came to her to have their disputes decided. She sent for Barak of Abinoam from Kedesh in Naphtali and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go, take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun and lead the way to Mount Tabor. I will lure Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with the chariots and his troops to the Kishon River and give him into your hands." Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go." "Very well," Deborah said, "I will go with you. But because of the way you're going about this, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will hand Sisera over to a woman." So Deborah went with Barak to Kedesh, where he summoned Zebulun and Naphtali. 10,000 men followed him, and Deborah also went with him. Now Heber the Kenite had left other Kenites, the descendants of Hobab, Moses' brother-in-law, and pitched his tent by the great tree in Zanim, near Kedesh. When they told Sisera that Barak, son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor, Sisera gathered his 900 iron chariots and all the men with him from Harosheth to the Kishon River. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Go, this is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you?" So Barak went down Mount Tabor, followed by 10,000 men. And at Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and army by the sword. And Sisera abandoned his chariot and fled on foot. But Barak pursued the chariots and army as far as Harosheth. All the troops of Sisera fell by the sword. Not a man was left. And we've heard already how that finishes, how Barak is defeated, how his army is defeated, and how God has the victory. We don't know much about Deborah. We're kind of launched into her story as she's already in the position that she's in, where the Israelites are doing what they want a little bit. They're doing what was evil in the eyes of the Lord, we've just read. Then Deborah comes along, and with Barak and Jael, the army which had oppressed the Israelites for 20 years, are defeated by God's work through them. And any cursory glance through Judges will reveal this same pattern repeated over and over again. The people of God forgetting that they are the people of God, doing their own thing, and then crying out to God for help. God raising up a leader, a judge, to help them. And then God having victory over whatever it was that was going on at that time. This army oppressing them, in this case, the Canaanites. And all being well again. Now at the time of Judges 4, as we've read, Deborah was a judge over Israel. And don't picture someone with a white wig in a courtroom here, but more of a military leader, a kind of chief of the clan. There were 12 tribes in Israel at the time, and Deborah was kind of leading one of them. She's the only female judge out of the 14 judges we read of in Judges through Israel's history, and one of five prophetesses that we read of, people who point God's people to himself, helping them to fulfill God's call on their life. She was there to remind God's people that they are his people. We aren't told how she rose to these positions or her triumphs and I'm sure struggles along the way. We simply step into Deborah's story in Judges 4 and find her holding court beneath a palm tree. Now this setting was a symbol of her fairness, a symbol of her refusal to show partiality in her rulings. And scripture says that people sought out Deborah's judgment. They maybe travelled a great distance just to seek her mediation or her ruling on something. And she had a tree named after her, the Palm of Deborah. So she was certainly a well-respected and admired leader in the history of God's people. Now, we've been talking in our house a lot about listening recently. We've got a nearly 2-year-old and a 4-year-old at home. And it seems like that everything has to be repeated 3 or 4 times before there's any kind of response. Unless, of course, there's chocolate mentioned, or cheese in the case of Lydia, the way to her heart. But then any problems with listening seem to instantly disappear, as I'm sure you can imagine. But it's clear that Deborah heard the voice of the Lord. She prioritized a posture of prayer. So stop watching Netflix. Put down your phone. Whatever it is for you that distracts you, that stops you prioritizing time with the Lord in quiet, uninterrupted time. They're not bad, those things. In themselves, I love a good Netflix series as much as the next person. But if those things, or whatever it is in your life, are prioritized over time with your Heavenly Father, if they're prioritized over that intimate space, that quiet space, each day seeking out the voice of the Lord, just waiting for Him, then we're never going to live life in all its fullness that Jesus Himself promised through His life and His death and His resurrection. Get to know the one who loves you and who is always faithful to His people. There's always more to know, more to learn and discover and experience and enjoy of God. How do we know what God is like? Through Jesus, His Son, as He is revealed to us through Scripture. So immerse yourself in Scripture. Spend deliberate time in His presence. Just listening for His voice. Be attentive to what God is saying, to where He is leading. In a noisy world, we need to carve out time and space to be still and know that He is God. And that changes everything in our day-to-day experience. Now, I'm not saying that Deborah had it easy, but listening to God under a palm tree sounds pretty great to me. Although I've never personally been a military leader where there's an army with 900 iron chariots about to invade. So there you go, that's Deborah's situation. But she had a posture of prayer, a posture of listening intentionally for God and sharing that faithfully with his people. She knew the voice of God. And it's an analogy that's been used lots of times, maybe too much. It's quite obvious, but it's helpful, I think, that in our own lives, if we don't prioritise time listening, hearing from, just spending time in the presence of our friends, our family, the people that we love and care about, relationship with, then it's never going to be an especially deep relationship. We're never going to know them deeply. And intimacy grows with intentionality. Intimacy grows with intentionality. It can't only be spontaneous prayers offered up in times of crisis or a quick thanks before meal times. Those are great, of course, and necessary often. But where is your palm tree? Where's the place every day where you put aside distractions and spend dedicated time in the presence of the King? The Celtic Christians often describe spaces like this as where the distance between earth and heaven collapses, or thin places, they often call them. It's so easy to be pulled away by phone notifications, by to-do lists, by whatever else is going on. But where are the places that you deliberately spend time with the Lord? A walk, maybe, a local park, a particular seat in your home. A friend of mine called Rick has recently written a book called Deep Roots of Resilient Disciples, all about this intentionality, developing spiritual habits that cultivate deep roots of faith. Recognizing that following Jesus isn't just a quick fix, isn't just about a one-time decision and then don't need to bother anymore. But it is that long obedience in the same direction that the late pastor Eugene Peterson wrote a book about. Because Deborah prioritized time spent with God, because she consistently and deliberately carved out space to listen for his voice, to pursue his way, to follow in his ways, she knew her purpose. It wasn't her role to lead the Israelites directly into battle or to take the credit. It was her role as a prophetess to listen for the voice of God. She was ahead of the game. She saw it coming. And then to communicate that faithfully to his people and to bring justice, to encourage and raise up leaders to do what God had called them to do. So recognize your purpose, yes, in the widest sense, as the Westminster Short Catechism describes it, as to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Purpose is, of course, not just what you do, but who you are first. What kind of friend you are, what kind of son or parent or husband or colleague, because your identity defines your everyday. Knowing and living out of the knowledge and experience that you are a loved child of the King of Kings changes how you make decisions, how you respond to situations. And what is your specific purpose? What has God got you for? What's he given you? Where has he placed you and called you? Whoever you are and wherever you are, whatever you spend most of your week doing, God has a purpose for you. You're the only one who can live out the specific calling of what God is asking you to do. Last week, Sam helped us reflect on the call of Moses, that reluctant leader, where God asked Moses simply, "What's in your hand?" And Deborah recognized what's in her hand. She notices because she stops for long enough. Again, she spends time posturing herself in the presence of her loving Heavenly Father. She knows that she's loved and that she has a God-given purpose, and she lives into that. So what's in your hand? What is your God-given purpose? Maybe you're not actually that sure at the moment, and that's absolutely okay. Keep being faithful where you are and to the people that you're around, and seek out those places of quietly being with the Lord, of listening for his voice. And if you're not sure where to start with that, then get in touch with someone in the church, or to talk to someone in your missional community, even better. Join one if you're not part of it. Let's not do this journey of living for Jesus alone, but with one another. And as you carve out that space of listening to God, of doing that together in community, recognize and acknowledge what God reveals to you. Perhaps you might want to reflect on these three things if it's helpful. To think about, what is your biggest complaint? What's your clearest dream? And what is your biggest gift? Your biggest complaint. Where do you long to see change? What do you see around you that you know just isn't right? Your clearest dream. Where can you see possibilities for change, for transformation? And that might seem quite daunting, but you know that God can bring about transformation to a situation or a place or a relationship. And what's your greatest gift? What are you really good at? What comes naturally to you that maybe doesn't come naturally to other people? And how might you use that to extend the rule and reign of Jesus here on earth? Allow God to speak to you, even today, even now, to speak purpose through these things, and chat and pray about it with other people. And then do something about it. Take a risk, have a go, see what happens with God. Deborah responds then, after this victory in Judges 5, by praising the one who went ahead of them and orchestrated their victory. She sings with Barak a joyful song of praise and gratitude to the Lord. Deborah was not surprised that they'd won the battle. She knew that God's ways are higher than our ways. And Deborah knew that God chooses ways that we would never have thought of, and we never thought would work. And he does this time and time again, so we remember it was God who orchestrated it. Barak looked at the situation with logic and details, unable to figure out a way to victory based on his probably quite extensive knowledge of military warfare. But Deborah looked at the situation with faith in a sovereign Lord who can and does work all things for his glory, regardless of the details. She knew her role, and she encouraged those around her to fulfill their role. Her posture of prayer made her purpose under God clear. And ultimately, it was the power of God at work through ordinary people who he calls and gives everything that they need. Let me pray for us as we continue to worship God today. Father, we praise you once again as the one whose ways are higher than our ways. We thank you for the mystery of how you work so often. And Lord, help us to trust you in that. Help us to turn to you again, right now, to choose again to trust you through what we're facing, through what we're thinking about. Remind us as well, Lord, in your mercy, who we are through Christ. Holy Spirit, in your kindness and gentleness and with conviction, would you help us each day to seek out times in your presence. Remind us and reveal to us the purpose that you have for each one of us. And thank you, Lord, so much that we are known and loved by you. That you see us and you are so excited by all that is to come in each one of our lives. We receive all that you have for us just now, as we choose to worship you today. We posture ourselves again towards you. In Jesus' name, amen.